Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing choirs of angels. Exalt all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing choirs of angels. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen.
Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this most holy morning in which Jesus Christ passed over from death to life, we gather as a church to watch and pray. This is the Passover of Christ, in which we share Christ's victory over death. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. Please pray with me. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. May we die every day to sin, so that we may live with him forever in joy of resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We are all children of the resurrection. On this day and all days, you are all welcome in this place. If you have not yet passed the registration pad, please do so. Let us live our lives so that others might see Christ in all we say and do. Let us pray together. Resurrecting God, open our hearts to your holy word so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow Jesus Christ in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Great is the mystery of the gospel.
Thanks be to God.
two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, a woman identified only by her first name, come to see the tomb. Now, in Matthew, it's not like the Gospel of Mark. They haven't been preparing the body and they're coming back to continue preparing the body. No, they come to see the tomb. Had they just not seen where Jesus' body had been placed? Had they come to keep vigil there? Had they come to see if what Jesus had been saying had actually taken place? Matthew doesn't explain. But as they're approaching the tomb, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. Can't you imagine? They were terrified. And then there was this figure, this messenger of God, dressed in white, whose presence crackled like lightning, who said, "Don't be afraid." That's what angels always say. They teach them that at the Angel Academy. The first thing you say is, "Don't be afraid," because you're going to scare people otherwise, especially when you're accompanied by an earthquake. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. Jesus, who was crucified." You see, he doesn't leave that part out, because without that part, today is empty of meaning. You're looking for Jesus Christ, who was crucified. Well, he's not here. He's raised, just as he said. But you go and tell his disciples that he is going before you into Galilee. He will see you there. You will see him there. That's my message. The angel, the messenger of God, entrusted the message of resurrection to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, two women, the first proclaimers of the resurrection, the first preachers of the gospel. When they leave that place to go tell the disciples, as they walk along, who should they encounter but Jesus? And he says to them, "Greetings," like it's the most ordinary thing in the world. Like it was any other day and any other greeting, it would be like me seeing you and saying, "Hey." But it's not like every other day to them. They fall on their faces. They grab his feet. They want to hold on to him. They worship him. And then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Why would they be afraid of Jesus? I think the angel says, "Don't be afraid," because angels are fearsome presences. Jesus tells his disciples over and over and over again, "Don't be afraid," because he knows there's plenty to be afraid of. But he also knows the kind of people that fear turns us into. And he does not want his followers to be those kinds of people. "Don't be afraid," he says. "Go and tell my brothers," not disciples, "go and tell my kin, that I am going ahead of you into Galilee. You'll see me there." Isn't that always the case? Isn't Jesus always going ahead of us? He certainly was for the disciples. He was always way ahead of them, both in his thinking as well as in his journeying. But you see, these women who had actually seen him crucified, all the men disappeared, but the women had actually seen him crucified. So they knew what the angel said was accurate. But they were astounded by the news he gave them. And yet they followed, taking that message, that first proclamation of the gospel, first to Jesus' disciples, his brothers. He had already told the sisters, hadn't he? And then it spread out to brothers and sisters across the world. And it spread out across the eons, and it spread out until it came to us, brothers and sisters of Jesus, who come to hear that same word of hope, that not even death can defeat the love of God. Rome tried to do it, didn't work. The religious authorities tried to do it, didn't work. Death tried to do it. It did not work, and it does not work today. God's love is more powerful than any of these. It's interesting they met Jesus just like an ordinary visit on an ordinary day, because you know what? I think we encounter people living the resurrected life all around us. Some of them stand out. A number of years ago in the mid to late 1990s, I met a couple of folks who lived that resurrection. I'd been invited to speak for the North Alabama Annual Conference for the conference session, and my host was gracious enough to be sure that I met two folks who lived the resurrection, the Clems. They were both pastors. Kelly had been pastor of Goshen United Methodist Church, and on Palm Sunday of 1994, they were preparing to celebrate the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In fact, they were going to have a pageant in which Jesus would enter the church as if he were entering Jerusalem. And as everybody was getting their costume together and putting the costumes on, Kelly was holding their daughter Hannah, who was 4, and Hannah said, "I want to be in the story." So Kelly improvised a costume so Hannah could be in the story. About the time they were beginning to make that entry, a tornado passed through North Alabama and made a direct hit on Goshen United Methodist Church, destroying the entire church, leaving many injured. 20 lost their lives, including the man who was portraying Jesus in the pageant, and including Hannah. Kelly searched around to try to find her daughter, to try to find her parishioners. Being a pastor, she was trying to take care of other people. But finally, they took her out to wait in the waiting police car until she could be taken to the hospital herself. She said, "I didn't want to go back there. I asked the bishop for another appointment. I assumed that there would be no church there at Goshen anymore. So I wanted to get as far away from that place as I possibly could." But the congregation insisted on having Easter services that year, the very next week. So they set up folding chairs in the parking lot next to where that church had been. Kelly said, "That day I experienced church in a way I never had before. God's love pouring through broken vessels," because we were all broken. But it was God's love that poured out through those broken vessels. Here we talk about being the loving light of Christ. Maybe it's God's light that pours through us as broken vessels. But she experienced that presence of God in a palpable way. In the midst of leading the service, she read this text from Romans 8. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." Did you hear that? "Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." After several years, the Clem family did get away, pretty far away. They went as missionaries to Lithuania, there to minister to folks in their own brokenness who had just come out of Soviet domination, who were trying to find their way and make their way as a new country. But now they're back in North Alabama. They have 2 daughters, grown now, pretty much, one almost out of high school, the other in college. But what they did was what Hannah wanted to do, what she asked to do. They wanted to be part of the story. Now, you're going to hear a lot of stories out there in the world. You're going to hear stories about power and prestige. You're going to hear stories about status and wealth. You're going to hear stories about who's in and who's out, who's acceptable and who isn't, who's right and who's wrong. And none of those stories are Jesus' story. We try to overlay Jesus' story with those stories. None of them are Jesus' story. This is Jesus' story. That not even death, not even the most unimaginable horror that a parent can experience, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the story we come to hear this day. It's not just about eggs and bunnies. It's not just about joy, because you see, those women left, according to Matthew, in fear and great joy, because they knew what the world was like. We do too. I think we come here to hear the story of Jesus and be invited into it. To have somebody tell us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus has already gone ahead of us. He'll meet us wherever we're going. Wherever we are, he'll be there first. And we will not be alone. No matter what happens, no matter what life brings us, Jesus is waiting for us, ahead of us, always. We can choose any story we want to live. And some of them are pretty attractive, you know? But those two women who came to the tomb, they wanted to be part of this story. And Paul, to be able to write these words, he wanted to be part of this story. And the Clems, and that man who was to portray Jesus, and Hannah, they wanted to be part of this story. And I believe they all are. And on this Easter day, 20 years after that event, I can tell you, I want to be part of this story. How about you? There are many ways we tell our stories. One of those are through creeds, and the creed today is drawn from the Scripture. So I invite you to stand as you're able. You'll find our affirmation of faith, our story of faith, in your bulletin. Would you join me? This is the good news which we have received,
in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to women, then to Peter and to Paul, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe in Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
It is truly with great joy that we welcome each and every one of you gathered here for worship today, because gathering together before God connects us both to God and to each other. We gather as a community created in the love that God has shown the world through Jesus Christ. So to strengthen this community, we invite you to get to know one another and welcome one another this morning in every Sunday. As the attendance pads make their way down the pew, you'll find them on the inside of each pew. Notice the names of the people sitting next to you and sitting with you, and say hello after the service today. And if you'd like to become or consider becoming part of the story that is played out through this body of Christ, West End, we invite you next Sunday to an all-church lunch down in McWhorter Hall following this service. It's also a new member Sunday, so if anybody who's interested in becoming a member wants to contact me, John Feldhacker, this week, please do so. But everyone is invited to the all-church lunch the following the late service next week. Also, in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns and joys, and the other side is a communication card for questions or comments about the ministries of the church. You can place those in the offering plates when they come around in just a moment. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of power and majesty, with the rising of the sun, you have raised Jesus Christ and delivered him and us from death's destruction. We praise you on this bright day for all your gifts. Especially we thank you for our family and friends, for those newly born, for the beauty and joy found in your creation, and for your presence in our lives. We also bring you prayers for this world in need of resurrection. We especially pray for nations and peoples in strife, for the poor and impoverished at home and abroad, and for those we know in particular circumstances of distress, and for all those we know and don't know who are in ill health. God of eternity, you are always present with us. With that knowledge, we celebrate our Lord's resurrection by joining together in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All that we have and all that we are comes from God. And to share those blessings generously as God has given to us helps us co-create the kingdom, that kingdom to come, for which we pray each day.
Now go forth without fear to be part of that story that not even death can defeat God's love. For you see, Christ is risen and goes before us. Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.